kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'd like to share with you, and we're calling this teaching, Fill Up That Which Is Lacking. Fill Up That Which Is Lacking. Heavenly Father, may this word accomplish what you want it to do, and help us to hear with our hearts and to apply our faith with that which we hear. And above all, that our meeting today will glorify your name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Fill up that which is lacking. And we're going to base this teaching today from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. And Paul the Apostle says here, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. We'll just read a few more verses, which I think is applicable as well. And it goes on, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mysteries which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. And so it goes on. So we're calling this today, Fill Up That Which Is Lacking. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul, going through much trial and tribulation, and it is amazing that he's writing this, encouraging this church at Colossae, and he's writing this from a jail in Rome. And he was seeing during this time of trial that his sufferings were working together for good, not just for himself, but for others, for the body of Christ, for the churches, his witness, his ministry, and these letters and epistles that he writes to these various churches over his ministry. And this word that he uses here, and now rejoice in my sufferings, in verse 24, this is an interesting word, because this word is never used with regard to the sufferings of Christ on the cross. We know, of course, that he suffered, he went to the cross. His sufferings was to atone for the sin of the world. The sufferings that Paul speaks about here is with the afflictions of one's calling, his ministry, the trials, the afflictions, the tribulations that one goes through. And it's also interesting, this word that is used here, that this gives us an idea that it's an ongoing process. It's not completed yet, this ministry of sufferings. Christ set it into being. The Apostle Paul, he sees what these afflictions are, and he sees that these afflictions that he goes through are to minister, to help, to encourage other believers. So it's an ongoing process, if you like. Christ instituted it, he started it, and after over 2,000 years, with the remnant that God's had and the church, this affliction continues to fill up that which is lacking in the body of Christ. So that is what this word affliction means. And if we turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23, he says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So these afflictions that we go through that are to fill up that which is lacking in the body, in the assembly, is for the fullness of God. It gives us an understanding of Christ's fullness, the work that he is doing in the assembly, in his church, and through each of us. So we are beginning to see then that these afflictions which we go through, which fill up that which is lacking, is very powerful indeed. And it fills up those areas that are lacking in the body of Christ. But not only that, as we read in verses 25 to 26, it says that it reveals the mystery of God, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mysteries which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. So these afflictions that Paul went through, and we know he went through a lot, shipwrecks, stoning, beatings, imprisonments, rejections, his teaching opposed, many forsook him, and we know that he sought the Lord about this as it was a thorn in the flesh, because of all this responsibility, and God said, my grace is sufficient. And the apostle, through all of this, is learning that this will fill those areas which are lacking in the body of Christ. Now, whoever would think or work out in a million years how one's afflictions can fill up that which is lacking? Well, we just are reminded again that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But we too are called to fill up that which is lacking. Did you know that? We are called in this assembly, if God has set us in this church, to fill up any areas that might be lacking. Let's start off with the fact of being reliable in keeping fellowship, sharing with one another, being in prayer in the prayer meetings. That is filling up that which is lacking. And that's the only way that it can be done, achieved, is by being reliable. Or we stand with each other when one goes through a trial, or a few go through a trial. We are standing, helping, encouraging in that situation. We don't turn our backs or ignore when there are trials or there are needs in the body. We're talking about today filling up that which is lacking, and we don't look to others to do it. It's what I can do before the Lord. Or we help to encourage. We encourage one another in whatever God is doing through their life, or whether he's using them in some particular way. Or we see a young brother that's being called into the ministry, the word ministry, all of these things that we help encourage. Because we have too many Christians today who are running away. They run away from responsibility. They're not reliable. And very often they run away because they don't love Christ's body. Our love for Christ's body is an indication of our love for Jesus and what he has done for us. And therefore, my participation, my being a part of what God has baptized me into, helps provide that which is lacking. And many Christians, the problem that they have is that they're so self-centered. They're more concerned about themselves, their wants, their needs. And sadly, you get some who come into churches will make it quite clear that it is your responsibility to help them, to give to them, to pray for them, and to encourage them. Little understanding that they are there to help lack that which is lacking. So we get the idea then of what we're talking about is when you start to grow up and mature as Christians. See, babies, infants, they don't think like this. They simply want to take. But as you grow in the faith, you realize that God wants to work through you, to reach out through you, and sometimes it costs you. You see, what we've been talking about here, to stand in the gap, to pray, supplicate, intercede, or to take on that burden for a season in prayer, costs. Or sometimes to stand in the gap for somebody who's going through persecution. Maybe God is saying, you stand in the gap instead of them. You take the responsibility. You take the lies. You take the rejection. God sometimes requires us to do that because we stand in the gap with that which is lacking. You need to be in ministry for that one. In ministry, if you're truly called, there are many times that ministry will stand in the gap for someone, or outsiders are finding fault or problem or lies about a brother or a sister. You stand in the gap for them and you take it because you see that which is lacking, because you do it unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what they say, it doesn't matter what they think, and so on. That is what helps build the true unity and oneness of the church. But we find that there are many Christians who have no desire whatsoever to fill up that which is lacking, or the suffering on behalf of brothers and sisters. And of course, the Apostle Paul clearly understands what this is about, because as I said, he's writing this epistle to them from prison. He can't get to them, but he has confidence that what he's writing will get to them, to encourage them, that what he's going through is in prison for the faith, is filling up that which is lacking in the body of Christ. You see, the body of Christ over the centuries has a testimony of saints who have stood firm, who have not compromised, many who have been martyred for the faith or thrown in prison. In many ways, we don't really have a clue, especially the church in the West. And that is what it means. It means I'm filling up that which is lacking. The very fact that you are going through the trial that you're going through, and we have got some in our assembly who are really going through real trial and suffering. And we know who they are. And when I think on this, when I pray on this, or I visit those who are going through trial and affliction, I see that as filling up that which is lacking. And sometimes what is lacking is teaching me to understand more about Christ's love and mercy and grace and long-suffering over us, how that he can preserve and keep us in what outwardly would seem an impossible situation. That, to me, is filling up that which is lacking. We have precious saints in this body who have a tremendous testimony, who are going through great trial, filling up that which is lacking. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever let it minister to you? What God wants to get your attention. If we're open to the Lord and we love his body, then we begin to learn and see. And in return, it makes us faithful. It makes us stand and be in prayer or help in any practical way that we can to fill up that which is lacking. This is what makes the true unity and oneness of the church. And this isn't something that can just be built overnight. This takes years. This is why I say often, I look at this church in a miraculous way, because in the natural, it shouldn't work. We're scattered around. We can't always get together as we should. And yet, here we are. God, of course, uses technology. We're able to meet three times a week. That has to be God. For the purpose that we pursue in any way, in prayer, intercession, in supplication, to fill up that which is lacking. This is why I said this word, sufferings, is an ongoing process. And Christ set it in motion. The Apostle Paul, he saw it, and many other saints who have trod and walked with God in the body of Christ have seen this also. So we see that the church, the foundation, is built up on this. It's precious. And it's cost the lives of some people to fill up that which is lacking, so that I may experience more of the Lord. I can experience the love of God. Teachers, ministers who remain faithful to the word, faithful to the meetings, faithful in their calling, they are filling that which is lacking. Lacking in what? They're giving you the teaching, the word, the manna from above. That is what this is all about. And we give God all the praise and all the glory. And that's why we continue to allow Christ's ministry to continue through us. As the apostle says in verse 27 onwards, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So the apostle sees his calling as important because it's filling up that which is lacking, and your calling on your life, your being a part of this church set in, is exactly the same. That you may present your brother, your sister, perfect in Jesus Christ. That should be the desire of our heart. Every time we stand or we pray one for another, encourage one another, it's so that my brother, my sister may stand perfect in Jesus Christ. Not about me, it's about my brother, my sister. And if it means laboring and striving for a season, then so be it. Because this works mightily, as the apostle says. Well, let's look at a few more scriptures with this. What does it say in 2 Corinthians? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations and trials. He's seeing that whatever we're all going through, whatever we are going through in FGA, and some, as I've indicated, are really going through it. And he says, with great boldness of speech, I am filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in the trials and the tribulations, not for what you're going through, but because of what it's working, what it's doing in him, what it's doing in me. The trial my sister is going through, or the trial that my brother is going through, gosh, what is it working in me? Filling up that which is lacking, that I don't see yet, or I don't understand yet, or I'm not moved by yet. Can you begin to see now how this all works? And we continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 7 onwards. We know this very well. 2 Corinthians 4, and he says this, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power be of God and not of us. So that is the key of it. It's his power. It is about the life of Christ that lives in me. And here he goes on. He says this, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in my body. So there we are. It is that more of Jesus will be seen in my body, in my flesh. And so that is another reason why God fills up that which is lacking for the purpose that more of Christ will be seen in my flesh. Not me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Isn't this a most profound work? I hear very little teaching about this, what we're talking about today. Yes, we hear much about love and fellowship and so on, and of course, rightly so. But here we're seeing yet a greater dimension of God's infinite love and how he's describing this, how it fills up that which lacks in the body of Christ. And as we bring this to a conclusion, we have to realize that what is lacking is being filled by you and I for the purpose that we will be ready for when Christ comes to rapture his body, the church, when he calls us up. This is what is making us perfect. This is what is developing, working with the man-child. As the man-child is developing in that spiritual womb, this is what it's doing. It's our development, our maturity, our soon to be snatched away, is the fact that God is filling up that which is lacking for the very purpose that we come to full maturity. And how does he do it? He does it through sufferings, for the purpose that Jesus may be manifest in my flesh, in my body. That is its aim, its purpose. And that is why the apostle could boast and say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That became his boast. How did he get that? Because what was lacking was being filled even in his life. The apostle is also experiencing that which was lacking in him through the saints, what they were going through, and their prayers and intercessions for him. This is why, of course, you see, our praying one for another is so powerful, because this is what it does. You're praying for your brother, your sister, and those who go through trial and sufferings, and for the needs and so forth. It prevails much. It's building up the unity and oneness in the body of Christ. And that's why prayer is so important. That's why God says, my house is a house of prayer. But to try and get saints to pray, well, you talk to any minister, and you just get a handful out of the assembly that go. Because they fail to understand that their prayers that prevail before God, they're praying, interceding, supplicating for one another, fills up that which is lacking in the house of God. And this is why, sadly, a lot of churches remain immature. They don't grow and mature in the faith as they should, because they fail to see that they can stand in the gap and fill that which is lacking in fellowship in the body. But we have today a generation that are so self-centered and consumed about themselves, their wants, their needs and everything. And the only way that you get delivered from that is to look away and look unto Jesus, the author, finisher of your faith. That is the only way this will begin to happen. Because those who are self-centered are not reliable. They run away. When a trial comes, they're nowhere to be found. And that is why our Lord said in Matthew 24 that those who endure, those who remain faithful to the end, will be saved. Why is that so powerful? Why is staying with it, enduring to the end? Because it fills up that which is lacking.
Jesus.